This is the Leadership Forum.
Consider, if everybody did what you are doing, would the world be a better place? That's a principle for just checking whether what you are doing is correct.
Welcome to the Leadership Forum, where we explore principles, practices, and perspectives of effective leadership.
Good morning and welcome to the Leadership Forum right here at Hope FM Listen and Live, and also Hope TV and on our social media platforms. I love that song that has faded out there by Joyful Way Inc. and Hi, I'm Uthetwa. The song is Settle for Less. Well, not settle for less, because we know God has deposited so much in us, and we just need to look up to Him, and He'll help us, reveal to us the great things, the giftings, the talents He's put in us, and how we can utilize them to impact, and influence people around us for the glory of God. This is the program, we call it the Leadership Forum. We focus on matters, leaders, and followers. And my name is Grace Butiso. And today is no different, because we began talking about growing and developing leaders. The past session that he had, we focus on optimizing a growth mindset. And today, we focus on a very serious topic regarding transition and succession in leadership. I want you to think about yourself as a leader. Have you prepared yourself? If anything happens to you today, will that organization still run? Okay, I know it will run, but have you put mikakati to ensure there is continuity, and there'll be no gap if anything happens to you? Maybe you've gotten another job, or we don't want to talk about the Lord calling you home, but the Lord can decide to call you home. Will the organization or the institution you're leading still run? So I invite you to be part of our discussion. Talk to us on our SMS line 20933, our WhatsApp line 0717 400 555, and you can get us also live at Top FM Live and at Top TV Kenya. Allow me at this point to bring on board Kingston Oganga. Good morning.
Good morning, Grace. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
I'm doing well. I'm looking forward to this great week.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. So let's get to our topic of today, as we focus on transition and succession in leadership.
Yeah.
A very, very important topic. But before then, I'd love you to take us back, just a quick recap. How is transition and succession connected to the topics we've handled before in regards of growing and developing leaders, and also optimizing growth mindset?
Transition is a part of this. Actually, it is one of the next phase, because last week we looked at a growth mindset being part of organizational success. And we said it's an approach to how organizations make sure they're growing and they're developing talent that will move forward the organization. Because when you grow people, it means there's a sense of continuity, and there's a sense you're bringing out new talent, developing people to take up roles of leadership, but also to inject some freshness into leadership, because leadership, like any other facet, needs a growth mindset. And we looked at a contrasting between a growth mindset and a fixed mindset.
Yes.
Those who feel that the leaders do not need to develop new people, and whatever they have, they have to go with it. And then we looked and contrasted that the growth mindset then is a mindset that is growing younger leaders, is growing less experienced people, is bringing in new fresh blood, and ensuring that the growth in an organization, both for the followers and the organization itself, is progressive. And so today we want just to grow onto that, and we look at one topic that is really people don't like to talk about it, succession and transition.
Yes.
And what we know is that there's nobody who is indispensable.
Yes.
In any organization, whether you start it yourself, whether you're hired, whether you inherited, one of many things will happen. Either you'll grow old, or something can happen. You can get sick. You can be pushed out, because we've seen in people are pushed out of organizations.
Yes.
Or sometimes even the inevitable happens, you die in office. And so it's always important to think about, how does that organization survive beyond you? And one of the things we say in leadership, the first day you take up a leadership role is the first day you should begin to grow the next leader. Yeah, so that when you're beginning your leadership role, you should be thinking about the end of that leadership. Because whether you're strong or whatever it is, a time will come that you must transition. And so you don't want that time to come and find you flat-footed. And organizations that do not accord a system of transition always go through challenges. But we've also seen organizations, even when they know that will happen, they don't work on transition.
Yeah.
So we see a crisis in transition, whether it is governments, whether it is societies, whether it is families, whether it is religious circles, even churches, they get into a real crisis, and you find there's wrangling, there's fighting and all that kind of thing because they have not provided for succession and transition. And so what we want to discuss today is that looking at the importance of succession and transition and realizing it's a critical responsibility of leadership to prepare for succession.
Yes.
And that most valuable goal of leadership is not to succeed in the present, but to secure the future.
Yes.
And so the future is not you.
No.
The future is who comes after you.
Yeah.
And when you do that, then you secure the future. And in fact, John Maxwell, I like John Maxwell, says there's no success without a successor. So that success is legacy. It is not now. Yeah, because we will know how successful you are when you are left. But also it's important for leaders to prepare themselves, even if you're not pushed out. Sometimes it's good to leave an organization.
Yes.
Why is it important? That you may have come to a ceiling. You can't provide new ideas. You can't provide anything new. And you need other people to bring in some new talent, some new knowledge, some new ways of working. So it's also important that you work on that. And so the whole answer of this dilemma of organizations, people infighting and all that is always when you work on something we call succession planning.
Yes.
Therefore, it becomes the leader's most important challenge to work on a succession plan so that then the organization has a process and a system of how leaders succeed others. As a growth process, it may be one leader needs to move to the next level because no leader wants to stay in the same space.
Yes. Yes.
And so that's important. So when we're talking about succession planning, it's basically a strategic process of identifying and developing new leaders to succeed current leaders. And who can replace leaders when they leave, they retire, they die, or other reasons, as we've talked about.
Yes.
But it's also a proactive and systematic investment in building a pipeline of leaders within the organization. Because you should never be the only leader. There should be a pipeline of leaders growing within that organization. That's the health of that organization.
Yes.
And so that process of identifying strong leaders is important. Or sometimes providing for where you have to bring an external leader, because you may be in an organization where you look around and there are no strong leaders. So how do you bring in another leader and how do they fit within that organization?
Yes.
Because it could be either the split and demise of that organization or it could help it pivot to the next level. But it's also looking at planning to ensure there's a smooth introduction of leaders so that the leaders are not forced on the followers. You know, sometimes, you know, leaders just suddenly appear and then there's... And so there are problems within that organization.
Yes.
And so it is basically essentially ensuring organizational continuity through planned leadership transition. So it is not ad hoc. It's something that you look, and it can be either long term, where you're looking in 10 years, how will it be? Or it could be where you're also providing for emergencies. Yeah, because that thing happens. Sometimes a leader who was strong, nobody knew, will pass away, either dies in an accident, dies of sickness, or anything happens.
Yes.
Or they leave suddenly. You know, sometimes people just suddenly leave.
Leave, yes.
And so the whole crisis should never find an organization with a vacuum. They must be able to see who steps in and continues on the growth of that organization.
Okay.
So that is generally what we call succession planning, where we have provided strategically that we identify and develop leaders to come and take over from one leader through the issues we've discussed, and then we continue the organization growing, because none of us is here forever.
Yes.
We're here for a season, and leadership, we should always see leadership as a space where we serve for a season. And then other leaders come and take over and run the next season, so that then we are not having leaders who never want to leave leadership roles because they think the leadership belongs to them.
That's a serious one.
Yeah.
Like some leaders we know in some other countries where they want to stay until the Lord calls them home before they leave.
Yes.
And I love the definition you've given, Kingston, regarding succession plan and thinking about transition.
Mm-hmm.
And the question I'm thinking is, why do some organizations fear, you know, planning for succession or planning for transition?
Yeah.
And what's the danger of that?
Now, there are many reasons for it. Some of it is the issues of the leader themselves feeling insecure. So it breeds a sense of fear. It breeds suspicion and distrust. So they're there, they're feeling very insecure. And so they don't want to develop anybody else because it kind of extinguishes their star.
Inazima nyota.
So the defense mechanism is not to develop anybody. But secondly, it could be a low self-esteem.
Oh my.
Where leaders see colleagues as enemies and partners as competitors. So you always look at the prospect of developing being unwise and is a way of threatening your space. So you don't want to develop anybody because you have a low self-esteem. But the opposite is also true. It could be because you have a big ego and a poor self-concept, where you believe that the organization cannot exist without you. Where you become a little demagogue, you know, that without you, nothing moves. Without you, the organization does not exist. But the fourth thing could be devalued self-worth. So one in that space is self-preservation, where you leaders think now the next generation, you're thinking about the next position, not the next generation. Or it could be where you are self-protection. Yeah? So a defensive perspective in life. You have to protect yourself. But number five is lack of urgency, you know, where they think, well, we are still here. Why are we really developing leaders? I have 20 years to go.
Oh, my. Yeah.
So there's no urgency of looking at that.
Yeah.
But finally, it could be just poor communication. Always, when people openly discuss this whole issue of succession planning, it leads to uncertainty, rumors, internal power struggles. So people begin to jostle for positions. You know,
yes.
Even in the time of Jesus, was that similar thing.
Yes, yes.
A mother comes and says, "How can my two sons sit on the left and the right?" Because they knew that the time for transition is soon coming and Jesus will leave. And so she wants to secure those positions. And so that kind of thing begins to breed some sense of people not wanting to leave positions and move on to the next thing. Because again, we must look at a leadership as a transitional process where you lead here today. And we've discussed this before. It is not about position.
No.
It is how you influence and how you mobilize people to go into a space and create a change and create good spaces for others to grow and organizations to grow. So you don't have to have a position. You can move into another place where you are either an advisor, you're a mentor, you're others leadership positions that don't have to be an office, you know, because so that becomes also a challenge.
Those are great points for leaders listening and watching us, just to take a self audit.
Where are you placed
in either of that, and what can you do about it?
And it is easier said than done.
Why is that so?
Just as the reasons we've given, because there's a sense people also find identity in a leadership position.
Should it be so?
It shouldn't be, but that happens. Now, think about it. A leader, for example, where we are, you come, the guards open for you a gate, they run, give you a parking, everybody runs, gives you water, gives you a cup of tea.
And salutes.
Yeah. And you're always given some preferential treatment. Now you suddenly realize you're going to lose all these things. So a very quick thing, you go into your cocoon and try to defend it, because you don't want to lose that position, even if your effectiveness is winning. And everybody can see you're not, you know, leaders who even in meetings are asleep. And we just have to accept sometimes age is inevitable. It's part of the life's transition. So reach somewhere else and say, well, I've run my race, I pass on the baton to the next person, and move on like that.
That's an interesting one. So we can move to now. What's the process? How can leaders start preparing for succession and transition?
Maybe what we could look at, what are some reasons for planning important? So number one, this succession planning is it helps in strategic agility. Basically, what it means is that organizations can adapt to changing market dynamics, because now you have new people who are looking at, think about today, the generations that have come, Gen Z, Gen Alpha, look at things very differently. The world and the global, it become a global village with different dynamics. And so when you have succession planning, you're also providing for space for those younger people who have different ideas, who work differently because the world needs a different kind of mindset. And so that becomes a strategic change that you must. So that ability to have strategic agility is important. But number two, it also minimizes disruption. Because when you have to suddenly replace a leader and you didn't have a plan, you disrupt the flow of the organization. Because now either you're trying to, it's patchwork, you know, you're trying to pick this person, they may not be the right fit, they don't, they're not ready for it, and all those kind of things. So the organization loses momentum, you know, where they're going into a certain direction, they begin to stutter in that kind of space. So when you have succession planning, you minimize disruption. There may be some disruption, of course, because when a new leader comes in, they have a new philosophy, they have a new way of working, but it also just ensures that there's some seamless handover and things are moving well. Number three, it preserves institutional knowledge. You know, by grooming internal successes, there's a valuable experience and insights that current leaders have passed to the next generation. And so it prevents the loss of critical knowledge. You find organizations that begin now to wonder where it is, because certain people held some things, they're not written down, because sometimes institutional knowledge is resident in individuals. They know when we started, why we started.
They have it at heart.
And now you see, if they have not sat with somebody else to share that bit, when they go that information. Especially if they died. Because if they are alive, perhaps you may try and persuade them to give you that information. But if they died, then it means that organization and maybe some of that information was critical information, so that the organization does not go back to a start phase when they can actually just build on what they already have, take the good, leave the bad, and move on. But number four, if it is an organization that has employees, it helps in building employee morale and engagement, because a well-managed succession process can boost employee morale, because it provides clear career development.
Yes.
And so people don't feel now the opportunities that we had are going to disappear.
Mm.
Yeah, because you see, there's a process. So even if a new leader comes in, they follow through that process rather than now they begin to reinvent the wheel. And now that may mean those who are probably feeling that we are growing a certain trajectory are thrown out of it, and
yes,
a new team is built on that. And that can kill the morale of the organization. But number five is what we've talked about a lot more, but it's talent development. Because succession planning encourages organization to identify and nurture high potential employees, investing in their leadership skills and for future roles. So it is not necessarily because you have a role today, but we see the future and we see talent in you. And we see if we nurture you for 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, the next place you go is this. And so that talent is not lost, and that is built, and you harness on that. But also it embeds this whole philosophy we've been talking about, leadership development, as a co-organizational system within the organization, where it's not an ad hoc process, you know, where a leader wakes up in the morning and picks another leader.
Yes.
But it is where there's a whole process, because we know life and the issues of life are inevitable, and so we must plan for it. But also, it helps in galvanizing growth and just ensuring that even if competition comes, the organization is well harnessed and the right talent is able to tackle significant issues. Why? Because they've grown through, they have learned, they have seen, they have built muscle around their own leadership space to grow. Then number six, it helps mitigate risk, because succession reduces the risk of leadership gaps by preparing potential leadership, either departing because of retirement. Yeah, because you see, we know somebody is going to retire.
Yes.
Why do you wait until they retire?
In Christian circle, we'd say we're still praying about it.
Yes. Or in unexpected events, because we said that sometimes they come, or even other reason. It could be a moral failure or a character failure of a leader, and they have to leave immediately. What happens? It is important if you have built leaders. And then lastly, and you can add to this point, is preservation of gains. Because when succession is handled well, the great works, the sacrifice, the hard-fought victories are not squandered and devalued, because people have fought, have created a process, have built something, because it's never a vacuum. It is where somebody has built. And, you know, even Paul talks about where he says, you know, one plants,
yes,
and then Apollo waters, then another one. So leadership is like that. It is never that one person created and it's end. Another person. And so if you don't harness what the other person has done, then you'll always be in a startup phase. And you know, startup means you're going backwards, while building on it, and then celebrating the appreciation of the blood and the sweat and the tears that others have built. You know, every person who starts an organization have been in those spaces. The moments you're crying, the moments you are struggling to build these things. If you're a Christian, you're praying hard for God to do some things. And so it should be a space where now people, others build on it, rather than now where they trash everything that has been done and then move on to the next space and start again. And so it just helps that. And then when we do that, then we are actually creating good foundations for the future, rather than destroying what has been done and starting again, because then the organization is always on the back foot, rather than building on what already exists,
yes,
and creating a system and a process where we can continue to harness more talent and bring in new people and bring in new energies, newer ideas, and grow it to the next level. Yeah.
Wow. Amazing. I'm just thinking of an organization that you know, has not thought about this transition plan and why you've given, why we we must have we must have this plan put in place. So what happens in an organization where the leader is there and you know, has already this plan thinking, but checking, because you say talent, you know, sourcing talent within that you can develop into leadership,
yeah.
but there seems to be none.
Yeah,
what could
I said
be the issue with this such organization?
So either in the recruitment process, that it wasn't done properly, and when they're recruiting, they didn't think about how the future is. But also sometimes what people have, you know, what we used to call in physics, potential energy.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So they have potential. They're not finished product. Mm. So how do you take potential and develop it?
Yes.
And so it's important also sometimes where you come into an organization, they may not look like leaders for many reasons. They could be because they're not exposed, because they have never been given opportunity, they have not been given space to grow and show their leadership. And so have you analyzed all that? Have you built in a mechanism? Because I believe in every organization there should be some leaders. And so that, if you totally fail to find within the organization, then that's when you have to recruit from outside the organization and bring in the right talent so that they can grow. But my philosophy is that people can be grown.
Yes.
And people put in the right environment, because none of us, you know, we normally talk about it, the trait theory,
yes.
where it talks about leaders are born. But in proper leadership philosophy, we know that leadership can be learned,
yeah.
and can be developed.
Mm.
And so that anybody can be developed to be a good leader.
Mm.
And with the right mechanisms, with the right space and the right learning environment and attitude, they can grow to be great leaders in the space they are.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how does this apply to an organization that is... Grace, you know, Grace Mutiso and Company.
Yes.
You know, and I see in my children, and yet when I was building up this empire,
yeah.
I knew I'd love it to be, how do you call it, hereditary? Like
yeah.
I can pass it on to my generation. How can we handle this aspect of succession? And I've seen maybe my children, hey, Appa, if I leave it to either of them,
yeah.
the organization goes down.
I think that's a very good question, Grace. But it is how you structure it. Even in those children who don't look like, when did you start thinking about them taking over? Because in a proper succession, as you begin your business, you must begin to invest on those children. I've seen it. You've seen, especially in the Asian community, they start early. So it is this child who comes to the office. I remember running a business many years ago.
Yes.
And we started with my son coming as early as 8, 9. He comes to the office and does some odd things, sitting there and will run to my office and say, Daddy, there's somebody to see you. So I tell him, now, next time there's somebody, you write down or ask them who, greet them this way, ask them who they've come to see, you know, and just make them feel comfortable. Then, and so over time, now every holiday he'll come and sit at the reception and do something.
Yeah.
And then he starts taking on other chores. So you're growing their leadership capacity. It may not have been seen earlier because
yes.
they're young and may not be developed.
Mm-hmm.
But as they continue to do it and as you continue to give them some sense of responsibility, then they begin to grow. But also that process, as I've always said, is a mentoring process.
Yes.
And I keep saying
mm-hmm.
mentoring is messy. To remember that you're not having a finished product in one shot. There's no silver bullet. It is you have to continuously develop. They'll make mistakes. How do they learn from their mistakes? How do you encourage them even when they have made mistakes?
Mm-hmm.
They'll fail in some things. Do you dwell on that thing that didn't work, or can you show them the lessons on how to grow? And so you continuously do that. And then when you do that, then they begin. And so you have to put in a proper mechanism, or else you can also create a situation where I've seen in businesses where they grow a very big business, but all they've created is an entitlement around their children, and they are hoping the entitled children
yes.
will go and take over. They have not learned the ethos of hard work. They have not learned the ethos of character. They have not hard work and just discipline of working and the processes. So you have to always remember that even if you want your children to do they have what it takes? Have you grown it in them? Because it may not be inborn. You have to grow it in them. You have to give them opportunities to exercise it. You have to give them space to make mistakes and grow from those mistakes, like you do in other organization. And then that is when you can actually be feeling comfortable to actually leave the business. And then run the business as a business. Yeah, because sometimes we just self-employed, but we say we are running a business.
Help us differentiate.
You know, self-employed is where you're having something that you're not, nobody controls your time. Mm-hmm. So you run it and you run it alone and you feel it's a business. Mm-hmm. But a business is where if you are not in that space, can it continue? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when you're self-employed, when you leave, the thing dies. Mm-hmm. Because it's you who is the core of everything. Mm-hmm. But an organization, a business has systems and processes so that anybody else can fit in that shoe and continue with the organization. But if it depends on you alone, then you're just self-employed.
A lot of things to do there. We are in the Leadership Forum right here at Hope FM. Listen and Leave, also streaming live on Hope TV and on our social media platforms at Hope FM Live and at Hope TV Kenya. And we look forward to receiving your questions and comments. You're talking about transition and succession in leadership. Do you have any question or comment? Talk to us on our WhatsApp line 0717-400-555. That is 0717-400-555. You can also talk to us on 20933 or on our social media platforms at Hope FM Live and at Hope TV Kenya. You'll be sampling some of your questions and comments as we go along. Allow me to sample a few comments that have come in as we prepare to catch up with the news at noon. Succession is not now. It's measured when the leader leaves an organization. That is Atundo right there, and also says leaders who sleep in meetings. Okay, thank you so much, Chineke, for tuning in. I can see you right there. And also Mariana, you said you're tuned in this morning. As we get to the Leadership Forum, keep your questions and comments coming. And on our 20933, there is a question here that has come about Trump. Maybe we could, I could read it as we think about it as we go on break. Currently studying the case of Liverpool versus Manchester United on a succeed, on you succeeding only when you are successfully succeeded and lessons derived. Question, does a previously successful manager failing in a new role on succeeding a successful manager need to act Trump-like to shock and awe everyone to their new philosophy? Well, there's a bit of tongue twisters there. We'll be getting to your questions right here. Keep them coming. 20933 is our SMS line. Top FM Live is our handle on Facebook and YouTube, where we are streaming live. And 0717-400-555 is our WhatsApp line.
This is the Leadership Forum. Consider, if everybody did what you are doing, would the world be a better place? That's a principle for just checking whether what you are doing is correct. Welcome to the Leadership Forum, where we explore principles, practices, and perspectives of effective leadership.
We're talking about transition and succession in leadership, and in this hour is when we'll be sampling some of your questions and comments. Keep them coming on 0717-400-555. That is 0717-400-555. You can also talk to us on 20933 or at Hope FM Live and at Hope TV Kenya. I'm hosting Kingston Ogango, our facilitator for today on the Leadership Forum. And Kingston, welcome back.
Thank you.
We pick it up. We had stopped at why planning of on succession and transition is important. We can pick it up from there.
Yes, so we looked at some of the reasons, but also there are challenges to succession planning. And one of the challenges that could merge with the question you asked is identifying suitable candidates. Because sometimes in identifying and assessing the potential candidates, you find the candidates who come up may not successfully fill the leadership role you're asking them to take. So they may be good. First, they don't fit in the culture of the organization, the style of leadership of the leader who has left, and perhaps that's what the organization, and so in the case of the person who was asking about Manchester United, so you have a leader with a style, and that style worked for him for the season. So another leader comes with a different philosophy, with a different culture, and a different way of working. Now, sometimes the organizations are also impatient to allow this new leader time to grow their different style. And so what happens is they throw out that leader, they bring in another one. And then it becomes a continuous problem. But it could also be a resistance from the people they're going to lead.
The followers.
The followers. Mm. Because now we are used to Grace's style. Mm. Now Kingston has come in. We don't like Kingston's style. So they're resistant to change.
Yeah.
And so what do? They just slow down things because they're trying to force the system to take us back to Grace's style. Mm. And so what happens is then the organization begins to suffer, or if that football team begins to suffer, because the mindset of everybody is that one style that we knew was the right style of leadership.
Yes.
And that person, because they were successful with their style, this new style cannot succeed. And so that becomes another problem, and or could be a criteria of selecting the new leader.
What do you mean by that?
Now, there could be a place where they have poorly defined how to select the new leader. And that could be even unconscious bias, you know, where we have a bias towards a certain kind of person or a certain kind of people. And so when that unconscious bias is not addressed, then that becomes an impediment to the next leader, because then you choose a leader based on your biases. And then those people come, and then there's inconsistency, there's the whole place becomes confused. Things are not flowing the right direction as they should have flown. Why? Because there are also some biases that fell into that space. And so the people leading must also have a standardized way of selecting the leader. So it's not based on how I wake up tomorrow morning and then
the
I decide, yes, or anybody else, and says, this is how we want to do.
Mm.
And then what are we looking for?
Yes.
Do we have a criteria of the right skills, the right competencies, the character of the person, and all those kind of things that we have put in place, so that when this new leader comes and takes over, or the person you're identifying is not subjective, it's an objective process that we are using to select the new leader, not where there's one person who's overwhelmingly pushing for a certain direction. And so the others, because they are either the owner of the business, or if he's in the football team, he's the owner of the football team.
Mm.
So everybody flows with them, but eventually it begins to catch up with them.
Yeah.
Or it could be in a situation where they are not ready to address the fears and the challenges of the followers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what is the easy thing is you trump over their fears and challenges, and you impose a leader on them. And so because they're also in fear, they won't overtly oppose the person, but they will work quietly to slow the person down.
a slow strike.
Yes, just a slow strike.
Yeah.
They don't say anything, but they're just slowing down things.
Yeah.
The system begins now to suffer because the followers of rejecting, but quietly. They're not overt about it, and they're not pushed overtly, but they're doing it quietly. So processes are slowed down. What maybe it's an approval of something that used to take one day takes 2 weeks. All they're doing is they are protesting quietly, and so that can also happen in that kind of thing. And then thirdly, could be a lack of a formal process. Yeah, so apart from the biases, you can also have where there's no formal process, you know, where is you have placed candidates through a process, you have evaluated all of them in a proper process, but you have stakeholders who are in there who have their own people and championing for those people, and they keep presenting those who may not have even the competences. And so there's no fairness in the process. And so that just begins to erode other people's morale around it.
Yes.
And so you begin to just suffer on that. Of course, we can't overemphasize also the fact of inadequate leadership development. So yes, you saw some people who are potential candidates to be grown.
Yes.
But you haven't grown them enough.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't exposed them enough.
Yes.
You haven't given them opportunities enough.
Mm.
And so this position comes. So let's say I know that I'm retiring next year.
Mm.
But I've been in this organization for 10 years. I start to look for my next successor. If I'm retiring in June, I start looking for them in April. So
oh, no.
there's no process.
Yes.
Or even if it's 6 months, there's no time for that person, first
yes.
of all, to understand mm. the scope of what they're taking over,
yes.
to understand what they're required to do as a leader, to bring in their, infusing their ideas and everything. So the person gets into their leadership role when they're feeling uncooked.
Mm.
And they're coming and facing so many challenges. So what happens is they begin to fumble. They begin
yes.
to feel things are not working.
Mm.
And then things begin to fall. So you begin to think, that leader is not competent enough. That leader is not good enough. But they were just not adequately prepared. But also you could have a situation where they don't have clear organizational goals. What do we want to see in leadership? How do you want to see the future looking like? Yeah, so we are not looking at the future. We know the future is coming. We are not looking at it. We are just where we are. So we are so fixated to the present. Because succession talks about and transition talks about the future.
Future. Mm.
But we are stuck here because we are enjoying the moment. We are enjoying the leadership we have now. And we celebrate today. But we forget that as time passes, things are changing, and we also need to change with where we are going. So
yes.
we are stuck here. And now, because of that, when the future arrives at us, or when we arrive to the future,
mm.
then we have not prepared ourselves for the future that we wanted to see, because we are so caught up with today, rather than thinking about what happens tomorrow.
Yes.
What happens either because of geopolitical issues, you know, because every organization will go through that.
Yes.
Now, somebody was talking about Trump.
Mm.
Now, you see, in an American situation, is a political system.
Mm.
Democrats have a way they do things.
Yes.
And they have things they value.
Mm.
And then Republicans value different things.
Yes.
And so when a new president comes in, he wants to trash everything the Democrats did
mm.
because he's a Republican and reset. And then when the other president, should it happen to be a Democrat, they will do the same.
Mm.
And so you find then the organization of the country keeps changing,
mm.
the philosophies and the things they're doing. Rather than sometimes the leaders look at what is it that we do not need to subject to a political system.
Yes.
Because we have technocrats, we have processes mm. that need to keep running.
Mm.
Then what are things that are political? Or, for instance, you come into a situation where a government comes in and the government imposes different rules on constitution, on processes of leaders and organizations. So that also challenges. But you see, in a progressive situation, we must think that should governments change?
Yes.
What will happen to our leadership?
Mm.
It should not be we have a leader who is at the behest of a government
Mm-mm.
or a political system.
Yeah.
We have leaders who can run and thrive in any situation.
Mm.
And so that we are developing an organization that also stands the political and environmental changes that may come that affect leadership and how we lead ourselves as an organization.
Mm.
So looking at a wider scope of reasons and issues that may come around our leadership space,
yes.
rather than looking at a narrow space of it will always be like this. And that's why we're saying that organization has to have that agility, because when you don't have agility, it means things will can easily crumble. But when
yes.
you have agility, you move to adaptability. And then you begin to say, what can we adapt as we continue to grow? What is it that we need to stop doing and start doing? Or what is it that we have started doing that we need to stop doing? So it's all those kind of questions. But it needs that leadership agility and a strategic agility to be adaptable and to be able to bring in all these other things.
I think what I'm picking, when it comes to transition and succession, a leader must always be forward thinking. Think ahead, don't think now.
Yeah.
And of course, our listeners and viewers are inviting you for your question and comment. 20933 is our SMS line. 0717400555 is our WhatsApp line. We'll be getting to some of your questions in a short while, so keep them coming. Yeah. We can pick it up from there.
Good. So yes. Maybe we could just look at how does this succession planning work? Now, I want to suggest five things. Number one is we need to engage the senior leaders within the organization. So if you have a company where there's a CEO and a senior leadership, we must reach a consensus of the importance of the proactive leadership development. Because, you know, you can be in an organization where one leader thinks it's important, the rest of the leaders don't think it is, or the rest of the leaders believe so, and the one leader says no. And so then there's no way it is. So we have build and say it is important for us. We must put in a succession plan. We must be set the expectations, establish the processes, and then hold the organization accountable to implementing them.
Yes.
So that's number one, engaging the senior leaders. But secondly, map up a vision for the future leadership team. So what we're saying is understand the leadership abilities necessary for us to realize for the future. What do we need for the future? Because maybe we are growing from a country to countries. What is the leadership breadth that we need from the new leader who is going? Do they have that ability to take us to the next level? Or maybe we are at a church, we started one church, now we are 30 branches, how would we move that? Then can we evaluate that potential in the people we have, the current leaders we have, then help them evolve to future leaders and who can address the emerging needs? Because then if they don't, then we are not going to where we need to go.
Yeah.
But then when you have done that, then develop future leaders and then have a proper identification potential for future leaders, assess the developmental needs that you have, both for the leader and for the organization, and then establish a systematic process to support that, so that it is not again subject to an individual. What is the process? If we're growing this leader, what maybe we need to expose them to this kind of thing. Maybe they need to develop a new skill here. Maybe they need, and begin our process of developing. Of course, in the earlier session, we talked about when people fear, if suppose we develop them and then they leave.
Yeah.
But think about the converse. Mm. Suppose we don't develop them and they stay.
We won't move. We'll stagnate.
So we have to look at it in a progressive way, rather than looking at it in a small way. But number four, then seek out new talent to fill gaps. Because you may have identified, you've done a scanning in the organization, and then the current staff cannot meet the future needs. So then what do you do? You must look for the talent that needs to fit the gap that you have. So if we're saying we have a challenge here, then so that then leads to effective hiring and then ongoing proper onboarding processes and then integrating those new leaders within the system that you have. And so finding the gaps. And then number five is monitor and improve the processes of a developing leader. So it is not a one time done and it is finished. Can we continually monitor what is happening here? Our processes are evolving. Are they stagnant in the place where we started?
Yeah.
And so as you monitor, you keep developing and growing. And so growing them in terms of their skill, growing them in terms of their competence, and helping the leaders to understand and enhance their ability in best practices and other things that are necessary for the organization to go to the future. Yeah.
What if you're speaking and a leader of an organization says, oh my, I don't even have any structures. I've not even thought around this. Where should I start?
Start now. And the thing is always say life is not about only looking at the back. And I always give the imagery of a car. Mm. When you look at a car, it has three important facets. There's a windscreen, which is the largest glass you have.
Yes.
Then it has two side mirrors, and then there's a back mirror. And so when you're looking at what is behind, you look at the side mirrors and you look at the back. You only glance at them.
Yes.
But keep the big picture where you're going. That's why they have a big glass to the future. So that then you're not going back where we have failed. Take the learnings of yesterday. Take the learnings of the things that are past. And then how do we build? And so if you are in the place where you're saying, wow, start now. Find the people who can help you if you don't have the competence and the skills to do it. Mm. And the men you can come scan your organization, develop for you a process so that then you begin to do now and then develop on it as you go. So that the important thing is not being stuck in the past, but how do you get it as a stepping stone to the future and say, we failed in the past, but we can make sure the next set of leaders or leadership system does not fail us again because we worked on a process. And so it is finding the courage to begin, then finding people can help you to do it, sell ideas if you have a leadership team to them so that they see the need of it. And they do. And I can tell you in many organizations, maybe they're just sitting waiting to hear a word. Mm. How will the future look like?
Yes.
But if you don't as a leader, then you become challenged and the organization also becomes challenged and can stagnate where it is.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. I love that feedback. And there is a point that you mentioned on how it works, the aspect of if you have engaged the senior leaders and sort of sell the vision to them.
Yes.
A scenario where you have a mixture. There are those who say, yes, we believe in this. No, we don't.
Yeah.
And you really desire to move.
Yeah.
What should that leader do? Because it's sort of a crossroad.
Yes, and in any type of organization, you'll find the early adopters and the laggards.
Yes.
So the early adopters buy the idea quickly and they see. So celebrate those and work with them. The laggards want you to see, how will it look like?
Explain.
Yeah, so basically, you know, when you're starting, or even if you have a new program, let's say, on HOPE, the people will be excited. Oh, we're going to do a new program. This is lovely. I feel energized with this new program. And then there are those who say, we tried this thing. It didn't work. Suppose it fails. And they have many reasons for why they don't want it to happen. Yeah. So what you do is you don't focus so much while you're trying to win them. Focus on these ones who are excited because they begin to become the influencers for those who are staying behind. Because sometimes the people want, let me see how it will work first, then I'll come on board.
Mm.
But there are those who say, I want to risk and go with it.
Yes.
So you work with the risk takers and move it forward because they create the energy and the impetus for you to realize something. And then these ones who want first to see a result can flow because now they are feeling safe. Okay, it is working, so I can come on board. Mm. So you don't drop either, but you champion one to be influencers of the others. Normally, the early adopters are usually the smallest percentage.
Yes.
And we use the percentage of the 20 influencing the 80.
Yeah.
So you use them as a way of influencing others to see the success. And now when they can see it, then they begin to see the future. But if you wait until everything is ripe and you will never get that ideal situation because it doesn't happen. There will always be others. And especially people who have been in organizations for a long time, they'll always have reasons why it will not work. Because they fear change. They fear the future. So they like to postpone it. They don't want to deal with it. But you know, procrastination does not solve anything.
No. It just carries it forward.
Yes. Yeah. So the pain is still coming. So deal with it rather than procrastinate.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. You're still waiting for your questions, so dear listeners and viewers, 209-330-0717-400-555. I've just seen a question from Dr. Helen Moore, who's streaming us live. We'll be getting to that in a short while. Yeah, we can tackle some more, then we get to the question shortly.
So maybe you know the people who could be listening to us and saying, and Hope, how come you're not telling us anything Christian?
Connect it to the Bible.
Yeah, connect it to the Bible.
Yes.
Let me use one biblical example of succession. And this is the story of Joshua and Moses. And so in preparing the next successor, the Bible tells us how Moses doesn't tell us the exact process, but it tells us how Moses goes to God.
Yes.
In the book of Numbers 27. Mm-hmm. And he goes to God and asks God, who shall succeed me? Mm-hmm. And God tells him, Joshua, the son of Nun. But you see, Joshua has been Moses' assistant for the longest time.
Yes.
He has seen Moses in the highest and the lowest moments. He's been to where God is doing the miraculous with Moses. He's seen Moses when he has lost his head and broken the Ten Commandments. So he has seen Moses and he has learned a lot from this great man of God. But a time is coming, Moses is clear because God has communicated to him. And he also realizes he's getting old. So he goes to God and says, who will succeed me? And so there's a process that is going on and he's walked with him. Joshua has learned everything that is. Then finally Moses dies in a mysterious way because
yes.
God takes him and Joshua doesn't. And so Joshua is left with the leadership. And in Joshua chapter 1, God comes to Joshua and tells him, my friend, you need to take over this thing.
Yes.
And so he wants to start, but God realizes he has a challenge. He's fearful. And he tells him to be strong and very courageous. And he repeats that many times. And so that's a good lesson we need to know, that sometimes the fear people have is not incompetence.
Mm-mm.
So in Joshua's case, it was not incompetence. It was that, you know, you have this big figure you have been following. A man who God spoke to face, a man who has done and brought the children of Israel who are very stubborn and challenging to this position. Now I've only been an assistant for all this while, and now God has thrust me the mantle. I have to be fearful. How do I step in? How do I lead these people? I have seen give my boss such
trouble.
A hard time.
Yes.
And so God reassures him.
Yeah.
And he tells him severally that I will not leave you, I'll be with you, but just be strong and courageous.
Yes.
And so that's a lesson we also knew, that as we bring people to take over roles, sometimes they'll be fearful. But it's not to feel now, you're not ready. It is time to encourage them. It's time to continually speak to them, just like God is speaking to Joshua and he's telling, continue, you need to do this job and you need to, and he continues and slowly he begins to gain confidence. But secondly, it was not his responsibility alone.
Yes.
You see the leaders, the priests, Eleazar, and the congregation of leaders that are surrounding this process. They're complementary to this. They're complementary authorities around Moses that surround him. And if you look at that, Numbers 27, towards the end, in verse 21 and following, you see the planning and the responsibility of the current leaders beginning to work together as an institution so that they can pass the mantle to Joshua. And so that also helps that when we are doing the succession process, who are the complementary leaders that are going to help the next level of leaders?
Yes.
So that then it is not a one person or one man or one woman thing. Mm-hmm. It is either a complementary leader. So
yes.
If it's in a church situation, we are talking about, are there elders, are there deacons, people who may not be holding that high role, but are there to compliment, to
yes.
pray, to encourage, to hold the system, to remind people where have we come from, what God has done, what, you know, and helping encourage the leader and the process to get stable so that they go ahead. And so in any situation, we must always remember that God never does anything without a process.
Yeah.
There's always a process.
Process.
And that process, sometimes we forget it. We believe that it just suddenly happens. But when you read through the book, because a lot of people think Joshua's mandate starts in Joshua chapter 1. It actually starts in Numbers 27.
Yes.
Where he's already being called on to be the leader. Look at David. When David is anointed and to the time he becomes the leader of Israel is many years. There's a process.
Yes.
He's anointed.
Mm.
Saul wants to kill him. He disappears into the desert.
Mm.
He's followed by a group of men. The Bible says those people were broke. They were in debt.
Mm.
They were discouraged. Mm. The people didn't have a direction. But I don't know what happens in the desert. Later on, we see him, those men called David's mighty men. A process had happened.
Yeah.
David had been with many opportunities to kill Saul, but he knew that something that God was shaping in him, and he refused to do it until the time. But even when he's about to take, even his own son wants to usurp the role. But because he knew there's a process that God was doing, he waited for his appointed time to take the role and have it. So there are always complementary processes that help every leader in a succession process. Sometimes it's not really straightforward. Even when God has said it is you, like David's case, where his son wants to take over plus others.
Mm.
But that did not demean the role that was. Even though Saul wants to kill him, did not demean the fact that God had anointed him to take over.
Yes.
So that sometimes in the succession process, people fear because they're challenges.
Mm.
But challenges is part of the crucible of building you as the leader.
The leader.
And
yeah.
So you learn to grow from those challenges and pains as you take over the role of leadership that God is calling you to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should not run away from the process.
Trust the process.
Trust the process.
Yes.
Okay. I think it's a good point for us to sample some of your questions and comments that have come through. Remember, our SMS line is 20933. Our WhatsApp line is 0717-400-555. Let's hear what you're saying.
Question of the day on the Leadership Forum.
Let's begin with this one. We talked about Manchester United and Liverpool. Those are your teams?
Sorry?
Either of them is your team?
No, none of them is. It's my son's team. And Gigi.
John Gishuru. Now I've remembered because he told us something about Manchester United in a certain forum. Gigi, tumekufikia, wacha tukusalimie. Now this one says, currently studying the case of Liverpool and Manchester United on succeeding only when you are successfully succeeded and lessons derived. The question is, does a previously successful manager failing in a new role on succeeding a successful manager need to act like Trump to shock and in awe everyone to toe their new philosophy?
Well, I mean, Grace, it has many facets, and I hear what they're saying. So the leader who is leaving has been successful, but they've also been successful coming into here. Sometimes it could be that they have come into a system that is different. And have they taken time to analyze? And maybe the people they have been, the followers, have been so awed by their former leader. They liked them, they liked whatever was happening. So when a new leader comes in, as I said earlier, they're either fearful, they're not sure, or even them, they feel scared because they're coming, especially if you're coming from successful, but you're not successful in a big team.
Yes.
Now you're coming to a bigger team. It can also be, it can help, it can bring in challenges. But they could be also relocating, like in that space of Manchester. You know, they've come into a new environment. Mm. And so they're facing new challenges just by trying to settle down. And so there's no one answer that fits all. It is being able to analyze, why is it not working? Is it the leader? Is it the followers? Is it the system? Is it the support? Because sometimes also that happens. You go into a new organization and the other complementary leaders, let's say you're a CEO, the board liked the leader who has left. They supported them better. then they're coming to support you because they are, some of them were not sure about you. So then you find that even you, though you're successful where you're coming from, you will struggle now that you're coming into a new space. So there are many things. Or, for example, I knew a friend of mine who was asked to take over a big global organization. He's a successful person. He worked in government. And where he went, he's a black man, and it was a all-white organization. And he had problems from everywhere. There's a point where he had to stamp his authority so that then they could respect him as a leader. So once in a while, sometimes a leader has to call people to order. Yeah, so I agree. There are times when you too. But don't do it just for the sake of so that you people are in fear. Is it the right time? Is it for the right reasons? Because sometimes others want to show you you're not as good. So you have to stamp your authority. And this is what we said earlier, you know, a leader has power, authority. So how do you utilize your authority to help the followers toward the line so that they can get to where you want to go? So all that is dependent on one organization to the other and the reasons why they are succeeding or not succeeding. Could it be time? Could it be environment? Could it be support? Could it be sabotage? There could be many things. But that doesn't mean then the leader cows away. The leader then must create a process of ensuring that those people begin to come and follow them. And so they must use now their persuasive power. They have to use their allies within the organization. They must begin to sell the ideas to the other, to the people they are leading. They must begin to do whatever they need to do so that the team then begins to follow them.
Okay. Dr. Helen Moore, who are listening to us online all the way from the US of A, I believe, or Canada, one of those two places, says amazing conversation there. Kingston, I agree with what you're saying on developing leaders. My question is, what is the place of the congregation when it comes to leadership succession? Do they have a say? Should they be given a chance to choose their next leader for the organization?
Okay, Dr. Helen, I'm sure you're talking about a church because you're talking about congregation. Now, that is dependent on how the church has been constituted because there's some organizations, some churches, which is a top-down kind of process.
Yes.
Then we have a bottom-up. So, for instance, where people nominate leaders, they vote for the leaders. And then the other organizations, only the people in the top, either the elders and the deacons, whatever they are called, who sit down as a small team and choose their leader. Now, neither of them is good or bad. It depends on how they have agreed to work together in bringing up leadership. Some can argue and say the bottom-up process is good because you nominate. And then others will argue that sometimes you nominate people you don't know too much about them. So it is neither here or there. It depends on what that organization. But what is important in either cases is the communication. How have you communicated? Have you communicated, even if it's up, down, how you arrived at getting the leader? So that the congregation is feeling that the process is fair, the process is objective, that there was not bias, they were not picking certain people aligned to other systems. So communication must be clear as you explain the process of how we arrived at this leader. And also the congregation process, if you are doing it, how do they feel it's a fair process, that they participated and that the process was transparent and everybody had a fair chance of doing it. So communication then becomes very important. But neither is right or wrong. It depends on what the organization has chosen on a way to go forward.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, as you're answering Dr. Helen's question, I remember seeing in media congregations undermining because a leader has been moved either to a different parish or something like that. So How can the top leadership take care of the congregation to avoid such?
Yes, and that is an important thing because you must always remember, who are you serving? You're not serving yourself as a leader, you're serving a people. And so when And you see, people get attached, followers get attached to leaders.
Yes.
And so you also have to always find the appropriate time and the appropriate way of communicating, especially in a congregation where they feel that they were just beginning to connect to their leader, and then you remove them, either because they feel you're victimizing the leader or you're victimizing them, then they will come, they're up in arms. So that's why I was saying communication then becomes very critical, but also being considerate of the people that are being led, that are you actually bringing a leadership that grows them and they feel empowered and they feel part of what is happening, or they feel ostracized and pushed to the sidelines. So then that becomes a challenge. So the leadership communication, you should never be a dictator and, you know, communicate what you're doing, communicate why you need to move the leader. And when you communicate well, they'll feel a bit sad, but they're more adaptable.
Yeah.
Than when you just, they see a memo and they don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So humanize the process.
Yes.
Humanize the process.
I love that. Humanize the process.
Yeah.
Okay. We seem to have many people from church listening to us today.
Okay.
Listen, Ryson says, when a church is going through transition of leadership and a new bishop or a senior pastor is brought from outside, overlooking those who have been serving in the church, how do you handle the fallout and feeling of disgruntled members and leaders?
Yeah.
Injecting in new...
A new leader.
Yes.
So that's why I said the process is very important. And then how do you create a seamless way that this new person that is coming in, especially if they feel there are people who are qualified within them and you skipped them and went outside, then it becomes a problem. So as the leadership, as you do that process, involve, and I think I can't overemphasize, being able to communicate, what are you doing?
Mm.
Why are you doing? Mm. How are you doing it? And when will you do it? You know, so that then they feel the part of the process. Because remember, something like a church.
Yes.
Who is the owner of the church?
The members.
Yes.
Okay, the Lord.
The Lord, but it's not owned by an individual or a few people.
Yes.
It's the congregation.
Yes.
So remember, this constituency is extremely important, mm-hmm. in making sure they go. And then that's why I also said having people, don't do institutional memory. Mm. Bring in leaders who can also be explained to how things have always been done, how the congregation behaves, how, so that you as a leader have an understanding, because you may be doing the right thing, but in the wrong time or in the wrong way.
Yeah.
So you have to find a way of helping that leader understand, where are they coming?
Mm.
How do things get done here?
Mm.
It doesn't mean that you have to do it that way, but that understanding helps you know how do you bring up a new idea that doesn't bring resistance, that you, they are buying in, they are getting to rally behind you and you move forward.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's an art.
Yes.
And also a science. Mm.
Okay.
<Yeah.
laughs> So Jacob is asking, so must a leader have a soft heart?
Well, I don't know what soft heart means yet. Well, if I understand soft heart, yes, you must have a soft heart first to the Lord. Being able to hear the direction of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Having a discernment of what is God saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I don't know whether soft here means, because it didn't elaborate,
mm-hmm.
Where they listen to the people or not.
Yeah.
I hope that's what he means. But yes, because you see, you're not leading in isolation. You're leading a people. You're leading an organization. Even organizations are made of people, because without people, then there's no organization. So the ability for you to listen, and remember in the earlier space, we talked about active listening.
Yes.
it gives that part of your soft space in the heart, being able to listen and then discern from what you have listened, and you filter and then say, we can do this or we can't do this, but being able to. But also being empathetic as a leader, because it could be something that people are struggling with. Maybe you've come in and there's a, this leader was removed, the other one was removed, the other one was removed, and are people feeling hurt in that? Are you empathetic to it? Because empathy is one of the characteristics of good leaders.
Yeah.
Leaders who create transformations. Are you able to be empathetic and say, understand where you're coming from? And then explain the process you are doing and how you're doing. So since the question is not very elaborated, I've assumed and answered it.
Okay. And thank you so much, Colonel. You're tuned in from outer Bungoma. Asante sana. Vivian is saying you're learning a lot. I appreciate you for tuning in. Jacob, asante sana, together with Vivian. Lona, all the way from Mombasa, I can see right there. And Charles Nyoike, thank you. You're saying you're learning a lot of insights and you're following us on YouTube. We have a few minutes to go, Kingston, but and I'd love to... for us just to wrap it up and give it a summary, and also maybe give a tip to a listener of you who could be listening and watching us and is like, wow,
okay,
I've just received that letter today. I'm the one sitting in on this hot seat and I need to drive this organization.
Yes. Well, let me say a couple of things. Number one, the highest manifestation of authentic leadership is being able to identify a successor and beginning to mentor them. Because when you are able to do that, then you are actually doing the best thing for leadership, realizing that you need to build the next level of leadership. And why is that important? Life is a generational relay, that one succeeding generation must pass on the responsibility to the next generation. And you must pass on safely, so you're not crumbling things.
Yeah.
Distilled knowledge of the organization, experience, and also wisdom, being able to pass on. So you must walk through that generational relay carefully. So you are not being flippant as a leader. You're prayerful. You're walking through a process and looking like Moses does. He goes to God and asks, who should I pass on this baton? Because it could have been obvious for all of us and said, if you picked Joshua, it's okay because we've been walking together. But he's still cognizant of the fact that God could be having a different plan.
Yeah.
And so he does that. And when he does that, he has a way of making sure it is passed on. And then the process of succession planning should support and complement your strategic planning and vision, so that you are, have an essential starting point for leadership. And if you have supporters or employees or whatever, so there's a development process, so that they're not in isolation, so that leadership development is part and parcel of your strategic planning and your big vision. Where do you want to see the organization in 5, 10 years or whatever you're going? And then when you do this, there's also a building a sustainable organization. So in this case, if it is a country, if it is an organization, it's part of that orderly passing on of authority and leadership to the next generation, because you have built up a system and a process. And because you've done that, then you can actually move the organization to the next level. And you can be like Paul to say, I have run the race and I have finished, because you have done what you ought to have done. And you see, he has a very clear process. He has Timothy, he has Titus, and many others he has invested in over a period of time. And so he can come to that place where he says, I've done my bit. Jesus did the same. He invested in 12 of the disciples. He had walked with them. They had experienced him. They had seen him in good times, in challenging times. And now he tells them, greater things shall you do. Because now he passes the baton to them. And he has also picked as leader, Peter. And so Peter champions that process to go forward. Then lastly, I would say that without continuity, people become confused. and fearful.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's people don't know where, whether it will die or continue. Mm. But it's important then to work structures as part of that and becoming effective, making sure that there is always a prayerful move of thinking about who is God asking you to develop for the future. And if you're thinking, as we say, that success is not in the now. Mm-hmm. Success is we've left a successor. Mm-hmm. So that then you're thinking about tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Have I left somebody who will carry on? And that's what Jesus says. Mm-hmm. I have come, I've brought you here. Mm-hmm. Now I hand you the baton. Mm-hmm. Greater things will you do. Mm-hmm. So the next people must run a better race,
yes,
than the previous one.
Mm.
And so mine is to say that all of us as organizations, as teams, we must begin to think of succession. Mm. And when we do that, we are growing as organizations, mm, even family businesses and other things, mm, that we are thinking about the future. And so we invest today, think about tomorrow, mm, as the Lord allows us to lead other organizations and teams.
Amen.
Amen.
We have a minute to pray?
Sure.
Yes, go ahead.
Father, we are grateful for the time we've had together with the listeners and the viewers. I pray for each one of them in their different spaces. The Lord, as they grapple with the issues of succession and transition, some may be going through hurtful moments. We pray for healing. We pray for understanding. We pray for a place where there'll be communication, Lord. Others may be confused and not knowing what to do, Lord. Your word reminds us in Proverbs 2:6 that, Lord, you give us knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. The Lord, they'll come and draw from you how to move forward, Lord. And some are wondering who will be next, Lord. Just like Moses, they will come and step in the place where they come to call on you, that Lord, you may lead them. Whatever their space, we pray that God's succession and transition will be part and parcel of our organizations as we think about posterity. So I pray for every leader, the Lord is listening to us or watching us this afternoon, that Lord, you will use them greatly to impact the next generation and to impact the future of the organization as they put this plan in place. Bless them for whatever they do, and bless all of us as we work together in Jesus' precious name.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Kingston, and God bless you.
God bless you. Amen. Thank you so much.
Karibu. That's all ahead for you on the Leadership Forum today. Catch a repeat of this program on Saturday right here at Hope FM, anytime at the Hope FM podcast and our social media platforms. My name is Grace Butis. Have a beautiful afternoon.
Thank you for tuning into the Leadership Forum. Join us again on alternate Mondays for deeper insights on leadership. The Leadership Forum, discussing leaders and followers.